Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask and receive that you grant unto us wisdom and insight into your word today. We ask you, flood our understanding with light of the word in Christ. We ask that you grant to us fresh revelation and fresh application that will not just be beneficiaries of the truth that we have heard, but be able to teach others the same in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, this letter, there's something unique about this letter. Is that this letter was written to a pastor. And so, if you want to know the ministry of a pastor, what it entails, this is a letter you must be accustomed with. It's writing to a pastor. Let me surprise you, a few things that are unique about this book. It doesn't mention miracles at all. It doesn't mention miracles at all. And he talks to the pastor and he says, it's given to you for teaching. Alright? He says, the scriptures are given for teaching, profitable for teaching, which is the word ophemelos. Ophelimos, sorry, where it's advantage. Now, take note of the kind of emphasis Paul has to this person. Kind of emphasis. Oftentimes I've had the privilege to speak to younger ministers. I'm young, just a few days in ministry. Relatively. But oftentimes, and people have asked, why do I always emphasize the same thing? Every time I have to talk to pastors and leaders, I always teach them that the most important thing in your ministry is your doctrine. That's the most important thing in your ministry. It's everything about your ministry. And it's not difficult when you see what Paul said to Timothy. And Titus. What pervades the atmosphere, what takes over the entire letters, was about doctrine. In fact, he said he left him in Ephesus so that nobody would teach any other doctrine. And I told you that the word doctrine is not an evil word. It just means what? Teaching. Explanation of scriptures. That's what it means. That's what it means. It's not a very difficult word. Now, quickly, let's look at things that were vital in this letter. 1 Timothy 1:3, is that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Peter 1:3. Then verse 4. Oh, sorry, chapter. Okay, 4 is the same thing. Let I give it to fables, endless genealogies with minister questions, rather godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And then verse 10, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, sound teaching. And I said sound teaching is what? Healthy, okay, which is wholesome, right? That takes the whole counsel of God's word, right? Is that what sound teaching is? Huh? Excellent. So, a pastor cannot be a subject teacher. A pastor cannot be a specialist. He has to have a mastery of the entire Bible. I was in a Bible school to lecture. I think it was early 96 or so, because I had been teaching there before, earlier than that. And I asked a question in a Bible school. This will amaze you. I said, how many of you have read through the Bible? That is, you've read through the entire Bible. And nobody had. I mean, nobody had. The entire school, I can't remember the number, but I know they were over 100. Nobody had read the entire Bible. And so there, all those things matter. In other words, they were picking what they were reading. That's what Paul was talking about. It's not wholesome. Praise God. I remember that day I said we should, I think it was 97, not 96. And I said that we should read the Bible without verses. Verses and chapters. And we all found out that if there was no chapter and verses, you would read everything. Do you know what I'm saying? If there are no chapters and verses in those letters, it's not likely that people will be quoting the Bible out of context. Because you will be forced to read everything. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Because it's because you think that God was talking in verses. God is speaking and says, chapter 4, verse 1. No, it wasn't. Neither did the letters that the apostles wrote, none of them was in chapters and verses. So it's very important that, you know, you have wholesome understanding of scripture. You know, so that's that. I just said that. Chapter 4, verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of what? Good doctrine. Good doctrine. So what's a good doctrine? Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading, to exhortation, and to what? Teaching. Can you see the emphasis? Are you following what I'm saying? Now look at verse 16. Let's take 16 together. Take heed unto yourself and unto... Now, in interpretation, that is, take heed unto what? What's he talking about? Eh? He's talking about myself and doctrine or the doctrine. Exactly. So take heed unto your doctrine. Continue in them, that in doing this, you will save yourself and them that hear you. So how important is doctrine? Eh? It will save you and save those who hear you. And what is doctrine? Doctrine is explanation of the scriptures. And that's why we come to church. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 17. It says, count the elders that rule well, or the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in what? Word, and again, teaching. Chapter 6, verse 1. That the name of God and his teaching be not blasphemed. Chapter 3, verse 10. Look at what he says about him. He says, thou hast fully known my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, and patience. My teaching. Then verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for teaching. Look at Titus, another book. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound teaching both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things that become what? Sound teaching. Chapter 2, verse 7. In all this, showing thyself a good pattern of good works in teaching, uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Chapter 2, verse 10. Not prolonging, but showing off good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine, that is the teaching of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, let me ask you, if he says that so much to pastors, that means the primary work of pastors is what? Is what? Teaching. Primary work of pastors. And I say pastors, those who oversee church meetings, the primary work is teaching. That's why he emphasized it a lot. Amen? Okay. So it's important. That's why we go to church. Church is not is not a place where we just do whatever goes. You know, if anything we should be doing as a local church is to keep looking at how people could be well taught or should be well taught than they have been. Even in the Old Covenant, where they had a temple. You know, the temple had a reason. They had things they were doing there. You don't go to the temple to go and have a birthday party. I think so. You don't go into the temple, just go and do. No. In Psalm 29 verse 9, it says, in his temple they speak of his glory. If you read Hebrews 9, from verse 1 to 10, you will see the things that they were doing in the temple. Hebrews 9, 1 to 10. Let's look at that. And that's why I am never in a hurry when it comes to this aspect of the service. Have you noticed? I don't mind hurry. Somebody once accused me of repeating myself. I said, because I'm not as intelligent as you. You know? I have to repeat myself. So that it will be clear to you. Because if we fail at this, then we fail at the primary reason for church. Amen. And I can say this confidently to you, that the days are here when these things will be restored well to local churches, and the churches will have the ministry gift of teaching in prominence, and then the believers will actually be strong. Because that's what teaching does. Be strong. And one thing about the teaching gift is that it reproduces ministers more than any other gift. It reproduces ministering people. And we have strong local churches. And of course, we'll have precise flow of the Spirit through our lives and to others. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Let's look at this quickly. Hebrews 9, read from verse 1 to 10, but I'll just take verse 9 and 10. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both sacrifices, gifts, which could not make him that did the perfect perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats, drinks, diverse washings, and kind of ordinances imposed on them on time before Israel. So they had sacrifices. There was a purpose for the temple. And we must stick to the purpose. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book, Brother Hagin, we call him Dad Hagin. I always advise you to read it. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. How we must stick to the purpose of things that God has. You know, he talked about when we're having a prayer meeting, we should stick to prayer. When we're having a teaching, we should stick to teaching, you know, to stick to God's purpose of things. I read the material once every quarter just to make sure that I'm not falling out of line. It's vital that a minister does that. Reading that book for 20 years or more. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:5. When you come together, Paul. Okay. Then you find 1 Corinthians 11, 17, 18, 19. Just see, talk about when we come together. And then 1 Corinthians 14:26. Why should he keep saying when you come together? That means that there are instructions and there are patterns to follow. When we come together like this, and you know, it's not, is what makes this place different from a spiritual gathering is what we do and why we came. It's not a social gathering. We don't bring in comedians, for example, here. If I have a birthday party, okay, I can bring in a comedian. We can do, you know, but this is not a personal meeting. It's a meeting that you do unto the Lord. You don't just decide that this is what we're going to do, but this is what will work today. You stick to the purpose of things. Amen? Alright, let's just see a couple things. Look at what he says, 2 Timothy 3. So, he says it's profitable for teaching, which is explanation, for correction and instruction in righteousness. That is definite things. Explanation, correction, instruction. Okay. Notice the word teaching. You know, we said the word teaching. We have two words, the didaskalia and didache. Who remembers the word didache, what it means? It's teaching, but I brought out a particular concept for you. What was it? Huh? Defined teaching. It's just like when you say medicine. For example, some people, I won't talk secularly. Some folks, someone was asking me that, how come there were some Supreme Court decisions recently in Nigeria? And they said, how come? And the guy was really emotional. Are you saying that the court did not look at the violence in social and social state? I said, well, if you ask, for example, what did the petitioners, what did they plead? He said, card readers. I said, the thing is that the card readers have not become law. I said, eh? I said, they are not. They are only electoral guidelines. That because of that, so the Supreme Court is bound by a way of reasoning. They must not read the newspapers. You understand? They can't react. I can't say, but no, I said no. There are definite things that they take their decisions upon. Just like medicine. You have to follow the book. Right? You don't say, You can't find it. You don't say, Agbojedi. That means he's stepping out of is the teaching. You get it? You get it? So there's a teaching. That means you were given this teaching to guide how you talk to others. So, you know, they can punish you, not you, but they can punish a doctor for stepping out and say, I felt like the guy should take one leaf from my village. Do you understand? That would be, there is a teaching that makes you a doctor. Right? Why some of us will say everything is, so say that guy has temperature. Have you ever heard that before? He has temperature. I didn't know that it was nonsense. So he said, what is that temperature? Everything has temperature. I say, he has temperature. He said, you know. So there's a teaching that makes you a doctor, the thing that makes you a lawyer, an engineer, the thing that makes you a teacher. You know when teachers are teaching, even for some of us, they have a guideline, they have what they call teaching practice. So it's that same word, didache. That is, it's a defined teaching. You don't just use it's not your personal opinion. So Bible explanation is not telling us your opinion. Bible explanation is explaining what has been explained. Is that okay? Explaining what has already been explained. That is Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now look at Luke 24, 25, 26, 27. You know, Jesus told them in John 5:39, he says, you cite the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. But the point is that there were others who had been teaching from those scriptures before him. But they didn't get the defined, like you said, defined teaching. It has to be defined. So, Bible teaching has borders. You get it? It's not just how I feel. The way I see it. It can't be the way you see it. It has to be what was written. Okay? Are you there? Are you following my point? So, Jesus told these folks, he said, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the 7 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, as far as them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself, that word expand is to interpret, diamenio. Now, diamenio is used, just like I mentioned the Supreme Court, diamenio is used for interpreting things. Let me look at that. Look at Luke 24. I skipped something very vital, you know, by just quoting it. Luke 24. Verse 27. He expounded unto them. Now, I want you to take that word expounded. That word is the opposite of having an opinion. Let's see where it was used. John 1:42. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by what? Interpretation, a stone. That means the meaning of Kephas is what? Stone. Was it Jesus that gave meaning to the word Kephas? No. That's the meaning. That is an established meaning. Are you following? That's what that meaning. Then you see John 9:7, the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation sent. That is, the meaning of Siloam is what? Sent. Was it Jesus that gave that meaning? Was that meaning given at the inspiration of the moment? It was an established use. Hebrews 7:2. Melchizedek, king of Salem, which, first of all, being by interpretation, king of righteousness. That is, the word means righteousness. Then Acts 9:36. So, Bible interpretation, is it personal or objective? Huh? Oh, sorry, maybe that word is a bit. Is it personal or general? Huh? That means you can't say, you think Siloam. I don't think it's Siloam. I think it's Shalom. No, I don't think Siloam means sent. I think it means went. Zah, are you okay? Because it can only have one meaning. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are no two meanings to scriptures. There are no two meanings to scriptures. So, which by interpretation, Acts 9:36, it says, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. That means, Dorcas means Tabitha. That's what it is. So, it never, who's Dorcas here? It's called Tabitha. No, that this shows you that interpretation does not vary, correct? And it doesn't change. Are we together? So, Bible interpretation will not vary. Now, we can have levels of understanding, but not interpretation. Interpretation is the same. And I say it like this. This is, by the way, that if you think Bible interpretation is subjective, that is, you can just, this is what you feel, then there will be nothing definite about Christianity. I can wake up today and say, well, Jesus did not die for our sins. See, you want to fight. Why do you want to fight? I say, because I sense what the Lord told me was that he died for Chelsea. I think they need it right now. But sincerely, you can't say that. It's the same way today. People are talking about gays. Okay? And they say, somebody said that by interpretation in those days, that the word gay is not in the Bible. And it's true. Do you understand? So people are giving, say, well, the Bible, that the Bible is about, that over time, that things have to change. So because we are not in those era, we're in a modern time, and people are angry. I said, don't be angry. You also are architects. And you are people behind, this is how I see, this is how you see, and we think it's okay. I think that Jesus is Lord. No, you say he's not Lord. You say he's just a Lord. You say, nonsense. It's not nonsense. That is my own rema. Are you following what I'm saying here? It makes it funny. So, Bible interpretation is definite. Bible teaching is definite. Are you still there? Alright. So, that's why Paul will say, I will not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1. I will not have you ignorant. 22 times is used. That is agneo in the Greek. It means I will not have you uninformed. So in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now I give you to understand. I give you to understand. That word is used for a regular fact. You see it in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and Galatians 1, 11. So what we do in the local church is that we receive precise, accurate interpretation of scripture. Not personal, subjective. I remember I was talking to someone and he said that he believed that Abraham was given the whole earth, that Abraham owns the whole world. I said it's not true. I know, and we sat down together and we're looking at it, and he kept saying that he said, look, you are too, this is how I said, he said, you are too technical. They are not giving room for the spirit. Is it not the spirit that inspired this? He said, no, the spirit now. That's the spirit then. Ah. Now at that point, you just give up. Spirit now, spirit, tomorrow spirit. I said, no. Abraham could not have been given the whole world. He couldn't have. That anybody who was found with Abraham, that, and you know, there's this thinking about Jews, that Israel, Israel, they, that Israel is everywhere. Israel is just false doctrine. That Israel, 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 Israel. Ah, that when you are a Jew, that you make money. I said, Lazarus, was it not a Jew? If I was a rich man, who was in hell? You get it? Unhealthy teaching. Praise God. That's why some of us say that prosperity has nothing to do with giving. Nothing. Let me say it again. I'm coming to see this year again. It has nothing to do with giving at all. At all. In fact, without looking at the Bible, just open your, just use your brain. Have you? Just use your, you, that means Jesus washed your sins, not your brains. Just use your brain. Do you understand? For Paul to write to the rich and tell them that they should be giving. He told them, tell the rich that they should communicate. They should be rich in good works. They should not trust in riches. That says something that is clear. But unhealthy teaching attaches prosperity, material prosperity, to giving. It has nothing at all to do with giving. Whether Old Testament, semi-old, very new, or newest testament. Anyone will get there together. It has nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. So someone say, Isaac sold in that land. I say, is that land a church? Or is a man of God? I say, what did he sow? Money. Isaac was a farmer. He sold in the land, meant that he planted seed. He got 100-fold, meant that he didn't have crop loss. That's like investment. Now you are talking prosperity. You are still not getting my point. Okay. You know why I went to all that? You know, because I've seen people who have been in guilt. There was a couple I met, and they were seeking to have children then. And they told them in their church that it's because their seed is not strong. I said, which seed now? Is it the natural seed? Go and see a doctor. I said, no, seeding. That I should seed my faith. I said, hear me. It was upstairs that we spoke. Upstairs. I said, I command you to stop giving. I said, you won't give a dime again to any ministry. And when you now have children, start giving. So I gave them teaching of faith, spirit of faith. The child is over a year now. They don't give anybody anything. Busura, that has child. Who does Busura give? Sorry, I know there's no Busura here. No Busura that in Christ too. Amen. Alright, let's see this. So, we must, praise God, you know, we must see Bible well interpreted, and we teach from that correct interpretation. Is that okay? But the Bible explains itself, right? And we take our understanding from that. Let me say this. Wrong interpretation of scripture does not glorify God. It doesn't worship God. No matter how sincere the person is. There is nobody who is glorified when you are misquoted or wrongly quoted. Hope I'm making sense. Alright. Now, today for example, we did something in the first service, and I just wanted to note it one more time. We saw the frequency of the word Christ. How many of you saw something unique about that? Of the word Christ. That the word Christ was used more where after Jesus rose from the dead than the four Gospels. I think the four Gospels was 56 times out of 5, is it 583? 528. Huh? 538 times. And just 56 times, right? In the four Gospels. Alright? And that's something to look at uniquely. And we also saw that characters like Abraham, David, Moses were less used in teaching. That the focus of the teaching in church was Jesus, not those characters. That already shows you how the Bible is interpreted. Amen. Are you there? Okay. So, go to John 14. Our text, really. John 14. Amen. John 14, 12. I challenge you as a believer. Right? Before the middle of this year, read the entire Bible. When somebody is teaching, I was somewhere and someone was saying that, we're talking about, he said, so, you, of course, he was saying people should do all sorts of things. He now said that Jacob, that the reason why Jacob, I think I said this, the reason why Jacob sent his children to Egypt, it's not because he was suffering lack, he wanted variety on his farm. I say it's a lie. I just put the first verse, I say, see, he's here, lest we die. Go on, get. Now, how did I know? I had read it. You can't do shakara for me. Anywhere in the Bible. I've read it. I read it every time. I read the Bible through, and it's not because I'm a pastor, it's because that is how Christians should be. Read through everything. That's why many Christians don't have questions. Anything you just tell them, that's right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And things will not be there. That's how somebody was talking about, listen very well, though. Was talking about, they wanted to launch a church building. He said, Jesus said, launch into the deep. I said, launch into the deep to launch a house project. Everybody said, hey! So I asked a sister, I said, where is that scripture? You're looking at you like a cow at the new gate. That verse, where is it? It's a man of God. We have to. Someone was telling us one time, he said he knows that Paul's father was a thief at the right hand of Jesus. I said, how do you know? He said, the Bible says my old man was crucified with Christ. I'm not joking, no. My popsy. You should have just put popsy there. you get it. Amen. Alright, let's go to John 14 because I have yet many things to say on that. But you cannot bear them now. Are you still there? John 14, 12. Verily I say unto you, that he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. So last week, let's quickly run at verse 2. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. What did we choose? What was closest? Oika. Oika will be a place of dwelling. or household. It was a household in my father's household. And you know, because he even used the word father, it lets us know he was talking about family. Okay? In my father's household, there are many spaces. So Jesus was teaching sonship. Is that clear? Is that okay? He was teaching what? Sonship. Not residence in heaven. Alright? There are many places. That's the word money. If it was so, if it was not so, I would not have told you I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, there you may be also. That's why it's called the first begotten. But we'll get to that. Now go to John 16. Hurry up. I want you to notice something. Verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this, because shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay. Now, go to John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now that word I have is the word echo, E-H-E-C-H-O. It was used 711 times. It's to say, I held many things. That's what he said. I held many things. So Jesus knew the things he was talking about. I held many things. And I didn't say them to you. That's what he was saying. I held them. Echo. And when he says to you, how do I know that this verse, pay attention here, I say unto you. Now that word to you is S-U in the Greek, which is a personal pronoun. That means it was specific. It was not indefinite to you. So it was referring to a specific set of people. So, we can say today, if I'm going to say, he had many things, you get it, that he did not say to them. I can't read that today and say, Father, I know you have many things to say unto me, but I cannot bear them now. No, that's a wrong interpretation. But he says, I have yet many things to say to you. That word to you is S-U. It's not, you know, when you, it's not directed to an indefinite. I'll see, we'll look at the use of words now. He didn't say to an indefinite set of people. He was talking about a set of folks he was talking to. Now, look at Matthew 3:11. Same thing. John says, I baptize you with water. Now, that you, specific or indefinite? Eh? Aha. Uh-huh. You can't say, John baptizes me with water. Say, what, Alpha? Do you get it? So, he was specific. So, those that John was sent to baptize with water were specific people. Are you following that? Okay. So, the statements Jesus made here in John 16, 12, just like John in Matthew 3, 11, they were statements related with specific folks. Very specific people at that time. Now, why did I go to that extent? Oftentimes when I, let me tell you a few things. When I teach, the little I do, I prepare people for the future. And what I normally do is that I help you answer questions people are going to ask. How many of you know that? You know that? Uh-huh. So you may say, why is it? Just relax. One day, you will be glad you know what I'm saying now. One day you'll be glad. You know what I'm saying. Somebody told me, I don't know whether I mentioned this before in service. There was an entire Christian community that they brought a new teaching to them about the fact that the gifts of the Spirit were expired, miracles were over, and things like that. And it was charismatic ministry that bailed everybody out. He said, sir, they could not fault it. Before that teaching was sent to them, people start speaking in tongues in the churches. In fact, they started doubting the miracles they had seen. Ah, that thing of God, is it really of God? Until that teaching came. That's the importance of being well established. I know people today who leave Nigeria. No, our ministry here is needs related. It's needs related though. Job. I told a friend who went to Norway to preach. He said, you'll get a visa. They didn't say amen. He said, you'll travel. They didn't say amen. He said, your school fees will be paid. Nobody said amen. You'll get a house. So he now asked his friend, a friend's friend. So, then I asked, why didn't people respond? He said, don't see, they have them here. So the guy had no message again. So the many people step outside the country. Are you listening? Have you seen a lot of Christians? They now get brainwashed. They start thinking differently. It's because they were not well taught. Do you understand? They were not well taught. So listen to where I'm going here. Okay? So we know that John 16:12 was talking about a specific people. Now who are the people? Huh? The 12? Was Judas here? Huh? How about now? Chapter 13. Yeah, it's gone now. Look at it. Just look at chapter 13. Judas had left. Okay? He left in chapter 13 verse 30. So he wasn't part of the group he was talking to. Because if he had used SU for, and Judas was part of them, it defeats what I've been saying. Guys, now for now. If he had used the SU, I said, SU is not sexual union, no. It's a Greek word, though. If he had used Sue, and then Judas was in that audience, you know, it would defeat everything I just explained now. That means it would be indefinite. Since Judas was never going to be part of them. Are you listening? So, now come back to John 14, verse 2. I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, verse 3, I'll come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 6, no man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, follow that thought. Then in verse 9, have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Now, look at 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do because I go to my Father. Some folks have contended that this scripture was referring to the apostles. Okay? And you know, we just said something now, it gave itself to the apostles. So, what takes this out is not difficult. When he says that, verily I say unto you, if he had just said, you that believe on me, then we'll direct everything to them. Right? Come on, are you there? But it says, he that believes. Now that's another Greek word, H-O. Is used 20,012 times. And it is either for, pay attention, he, where, whoever, that, but majorly, it is the word the. So we can say the one that believes. Every time it is used, it gives indefinite. Definite, indefinite, pardon me. Now, by saying, that means it will be explained by the verb. Or the adjective, or the adverb. So it says, he that believes. If you say you that believes, that means he was talking to the 12. So he that believes means anyone. Are you following what I'm saying? Anyone who believes. So, that means Jesus was talking to his audience, but not only about his audience. Is that correct? Alright. He was talking to an audience, but he was not referring to the audience alone. He that believes. Okay? Now, the same set, watch this, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, the you in 13, is it his audience or he that believes? Huh? Huh? Okay, then 14. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. The audience or he that believes? If you love me, keep my commandments. The audience or he that believes? I pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. The audience or he that believes? Okay, now, wait. Look at verse. This will make more sense to you. At that day you shall know, verse 21, I am the Father and you in me and I in you. 21. He that keeps my commandments and keeps them, has my commandments and keeps them, is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will make myself manifest to him. So he's still following the same pattern. He's talking to those who believe. So, come back 1 minute. Go back to John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Let me throw that at you. The audience or beyond the audience? Huh? Let's vote. The audience. The audience? Everybody. That is beyond the audience. Take a spot now. The audience. Why do you think it's the audience? You don't know, I'll ask you. Huh? Because he was short. That's why. He didn't change the use of words. Is that correct? That means he's still talking about the same thing. Okay? So, now, he says, he will guide you into all of the truth. Okay, that word guide is to explain, to teach. Hodegos in the Greek, H-O-D-E-G-O-S. You'll see it used in Acts 8:1. Remember that, that Enoch that says, I need, except someone should guide me, that's to explain to me. H-O-D-G-O-S. Now, pay attention to this. He will guide you. So, that scripture is not general. Are you following? Now, let's pay more attention. He will show you things to come. How many times does he use the word show? Between verse 12 and 15. Huh? How many times? Huh? Two times? Huh? Three times. Where? 13? 14? So, that means we should pay attention to the word show. Okay? The word show, now don't forget, it will say it will take of mine and show it to you. Now, take of mine how? Take of my clothes? Take of my heir, take of my family, take of my property. What do you mean take of mine and show to you? Now, the word show is, again, three times. It is used, look at John 4:25. Let's see where it's used. John 4:25. The word show is the word anagelo. A-N-A. W-G-E-L-L-O. A-N-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. John 4:25. He will show I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. John 4:25. John 5:15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that had made him whole. John 5:15. That word is used to report something. When you see an event, and you are reporting it. That means you are reporting something that happened. Are you following me? So it is to report something that has happened. Let's see other places where you find it. Anagelo, Acts 14:27. And when they were come, okay, they gathered together the church. They re-asked all God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They reported what had happened. Somebody following me? Okay. Anagelo is to say, like a journalist, I saw so and so happen here. Eyewitness. I saw it. So you are telling us. It's not a prediction. Are you listening? Okay? Acts 15:4. They declared all things that God had done with them. Second Corinthians 7:7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoiced the more. 2 Corinthians 7:7. 1 Peter 1:12. Have you discovered that that word is used for past tense things? Huh? Okay. So, First Peter 1:12. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto all they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. So that means the word show is to report events. So go back to John 16. To report certain events, right? Things that have happened. So is this getting clear? Okay, so when he was talking to them, that when the Spirit of Truth is come, he will guide you all truth. He will show you things to come. Now, what were the things that will happen? Jesus' death, burial and resurrection, right? And ascension to the right hand of the Father, which will be beyond human senses. So the Holy Spirit, when that thing is accomplished, he will now what? He will now report it to them. Are you following? Are you following this? Aha. So the things to come is not private life events. It is the things of mine, things to come to Jesus. Not personal life. Not he will show me things to come. He will tell me where I should travel. He will tell me where I should school. He will tell me where I should have my business. He will tell me who to marry. He will tell me how many children to have. That would be very difficult. He will tell me where to live. Is that what he's talking about? Huh? Definite reports. So he will be reporting what? He will be reporting the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. Is that very clear? Okay. So that will show you he is talking to who? Right? Exactly. Because they now communicated it to us by writing. Is that clear? We did not know it the way they did. Are you following me? Aha. Okay, quickly, look at this. So, he's talking to them. He will show you things to come. But go back to John 14. And this is it now. You mustn't lose this one. When I say that, you don't pay attention. He says, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Okay? And greater works than this, shall he do. Why? Because? Huh? So everything is conditional upon what? Huh? Upon what? A fact. There's a fact there. So everything there is conditional upon what? Upon Jesus going to the Father. Now, who is going to report that to us? Oh, good. Thank you. So, the truth about John 14, 12 to 13 will be communicated by who? Hey. No, now. Eh? John 14, 12 to 13. Who will communicate the truth there to us? Wait. Before you get to the apostles. That fact will be communicated by who? The Holy Spirit. And he will communicate it to? Do you understand? So we will know the meaning of John 14, 12 to 13 through the epistles. Let me say that's clear to you. So, because he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. You know when he was talking to them, they couldn't bear what he was talking about. But the Spirit of truth will guide into all of that truth. That will mean that he will use words Jesus did not use. Are you there? But we will know that he's referring to the same thing. Are you following this? So, he will show you things to come. So, John 14, 12 to 13 will be unveiled by the Spirit. Jesus did not explain it beyond this. So, the Holy Spirit in the epistles will now use more words to explain what he said here. Is that okay? Now, let's see. So, the first thing we see is that where he went to is where we are. Right? John 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I where in you. How would you know? How would they know? Eh? Is it by observation? Or he will show it? Okay? So they will know by what? Revelation. Not that they will sense it in their head. No. They will know by revelation. So, watch this. The four Gospels were orally transmitted. The four Gospels. The four Gospels were orally transmitted. You know, we said that the four Gospels were written much after the epistles. Can you remember? Can you remember? So that means the epistles did not, the church did not use the four Gospels to preach. That when you see believers walk in their rights and privileges in the church age, it wasn't because they read the four Gospels. Whatever the church was taught, it was given by who? The Holy Ghost. And then the apostles communicated it by teaching and by writing. Are you following this? Okay. I said the four Gospels were orally transmitted until it was written. Look at Hebrews 2:3. They were orally transmitted. That is, people were just talking about it. It was never written. They were talking about it. Talking about it. It was never written. The only things that were documented for teaching were the epistles and then the Old Testament books. Quickly say this. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by who? Them that what? Them that what? Heard him. So, whoever wrote this is not one of the apostles. Right? Whoever wrote this is also not Paul. Because Paul says, I received my gospel not after man. Are you following this? Aha. Paul's revelation of Jesus Christ was from the Old Testament. He did not have communication of those things from the apostles. We'll come to that later. So, these things were written much after. Now, there's an argument about it, that why then was it written? Yeah. Some say, well, it was to counter things when people were now saying that the apostles did not say. That's not true. What it did, okay, what the four Gospels did was to bridge a gap in history. The four Gospels were never written for revelation. Because the revelation is not there. The revelation is in the epistles.
Somebody said, well, you are always overemphasizing the epistles. Ah, I said, I've not started. I've not started. Because the epistles were the things that the church fed on. Is that not true? Aha. Now, look at this. So, they were written much after the epistles, the four gospels, historically. Look at 1 John 5:12. Just write this down quickly. 1 John 5:12 to 13. These things have I written to you. 1 John 5:12 and 13. That you may know that you have eternal life. Did he quote Jesus when he said this? Huh? Did he quote Jesus? Did he say, these things Jesus said? No, he didn't say that. These things have I written unto you. So, their letters were more authoritative than the four gospels. That you may know that you have eternal life. Jesus said you will have. Right? Can you remember? He that believes, he is saying that you already have. 1 John 2, 1. These things have I written unto you that you sin not. 1 John 2, 12. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Any reference to the four gospels? No. No. So that means these letters were understood independently. Is somebody following what I'm saying? Okay? See one more. Hebrews 13:22. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word, that's the word allow, please. What suffer? Somebody was saying, he said, after you have suffered a while, you will now be settled and established. He said, God will settle you. I said, ah. How is that word settled? Settle like your Nigerian language. God will settle you this year. I said, the word settle there is established. That after you have suffered a while and you have endured temptation, then you now be strong. Say, God will say to you. Those of you that are looking for it, God will say to you. I'm not joking, no. Is it prophetic word? No? Look at this. Hebrews 13, okay. Allow the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Oh God, 13 chapters. 1 Peter 1:12. Which are reported unto you. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also what? A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take it as you dwell in the light that shines in the dark place. On the day and day that shall arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now notice that he was talking about the voice they heard in the four gospels. He said now we have a more sure word of prophecy. That is prophecy fulfilled. It makes a distinction between the four gospels or their eyewitness account and what is writing. It's calling what is writing fulfillment of prophecy. So there was a clear distinction. We feed as the church, we feed on the epistles. What did I say? We study the four gospels, we study the Old Testament, but what do we feed on? We feed on the epistles are our mirror. We feed on the epistles. Look at this. 2 Peter 3 again, 15. On account of the offering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul has written, or as according to the wisdom given unto you, has written unto you.
also in all his writings, speaking in them of these things in which some are, of which are some understood, some things are hard to be understood, with they that are learned and unstable, rest that they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So, Paul, who was not an eyewitness account of the sufferings of Christ, he is now writing, and those things are now the basing of the revelation of salvation. So, in spite of the four gospels, there was revelation of what Jesus did before it. So, the four gospels are not doctrinal materials. Are you listening? They are reference materials. Somebody has asked me, he said, how would I classify? If I'm going to classify, he said, let's agree that the epistles are the explanation. Said, the four gospels come after. I said, no. I'll talk about that later. Praise God. Look at Ephesians 3. How do we receive this revelation? Ephesians 3. So the words of Jesus and the person of Jesus and the character of Jesus will only be understood clearly where? Where? In the epistles. That is why Christ is used for Jesus more where? In the epistles. He is better described and clearly defined where? In the epistles than the four gospels. He was hardly called Christ. And he didn't even refer to him like that. So you can't even find the meaning of who he is from his mouth. You will have to wait for the Spirit of Truth. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the epistles. Or you go and hang in one room and begin to wait. Look at Ephesians 3:3. Are you learning something? How that by revelation, Ephesians 3:3, he had made known unto me that mystery which I wrote afore in few words. Let's take four together. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What is the instruction he gave? Read. When you read it. So, you have a responsibility to first of all read the epistles. The understanding will come as a result of reading it. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see that word mystery used 28 times. It's the Greek word mysterion. 28 times. Jesus used it 3 times. Jesus, 3 times. Matthew 13:11, Mark 4:11, Luke 8:10. And he used it to talk about his own teaching ministry. He's saying, my own teaching is mystery. Matthew 13:11, Mark 4:11, Luke 8:10. You also see it in the book of Revelation. Paul used it 20 times. 20. And every time Paul was talking about mystery, he was referring to the Old Testament. The Old Testament books will remain a mystery until you read it side by side with the epistles. I know whenever people don't understand something, whatever they say out of it will become error. Right? Are you following what I'm saying? When they don't understand something, whatever they will say will be error. So it means that when you don't place the Old Testament side by side with the epistles, you will come out with what? Error. You will come back with error. You will think that, for example, you will think Adam ate guava or mango. How can mango and guava get to your stomach and then you become a sinner? You need to read the epistles to understand that. Somebody follow what we're saying. Now, look at this. Now, does this also apply to the four gospels? Huh? If the four gospels are read on its own, can it produce error? It will.
For example, look at how people read Matthew 24. Left behind. And somebody did a whole movie on left behind. And said, it is the unbeliever that is left behind, the believer goes. Abba. Look at it again. It was talking about the fall of Jerusalem, not rapture. And said, the one that is left behind is the one that was saved. Right? At a point, he said that when the thing comes, he said you should run. Run for your dear life. Now, Jesus, let me say this. The only place you will find Jesus explain rapture is John 11 and John 6. You know, it's on those verses where we got our disappearing act. There are people who just disappear from the earth. Born again have left too. Who is left? The pastor did not go. It's from that place. It's the error that people are praying today about rapture. It's from that place. If they took Paul's letters side by side with the four gospels, they will not think that some people will leave and who will stay. It's not in the Bible. Praise God. What will now happen? I'm not ready for that. Amen. That's an important thing. Now, look at the word mystery. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. Look at an example of what Paul, of what Jesus was telling them. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye has not seen. Imagine today, people are using this one to pray for Christians. Brother, eye has not seen what you are going to become. He has not heard. Neither has entered to the heart of man. Including me. Yes, including you. The things which God has prepared for them that just sir, he said, as it is written. Written where? Written in the Old Testament, Isaiah 64, verse 4. Is a prophecy. Now, the next verse says, but God has revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. Those are the things Jesus could not communicate. It says, so for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, while the Old Testament will remain, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which is a mystery, the epistles will be what? The revelation of the Spirit. So, from the epistles, we have a clarity of what the thoughts of the Old Testament meant. Are we still there? Okay, quickly. Now, the word mysterion, which is where you have mystery, is from a word muheo in the Greek. M-U-E-O. It means mouth did not say it, or eyes did not see it, or both. Mouth did not say it, eyes did not see it, or both. Now, is it, if Jesus is speaking a mystery, is it I did not see it or mouth did not say it? Is I too didn't see it? Huh? If the prophet said it, is it mouth did not say it or I did not see it? But mouth said it. Good. Thank you. It's good. It means you have been paying attention. So, There was a muo in Jesus' explanations. There were things he did not see. But he knew them. I told the Greek word echo, right? That he held back things. But he did not see them. There were things he did not see, but he knew. So he allowed the Spirit of Truth to communicate those things in the four gospels, in the epistles. That's why we say that Jesus left this earth with his best teachings untaught. The deepest teachings of Jesus, most vital, he didn't teach them. They were taught by the apostles. Because they were, the greatest sermon in the Bible is the Sermon on the Mount. Without going to the Mount. It's not true. So, how will the Spirit report these things? How? It's very simple. The first thing Jesus did when he rose from the dead, I showed you that earlier, was in Luke's Gospel 24:25. He went through all the scriptures, the Old Testament books,
to expound the things concerning who? Himself.
So, the Holy Spirit will use what to explain? The Old Testament books.
Are you following what I'm saying? Good. Now, look at Acts 2. Look at the example. Acts 2:25.
Peter is explaining about the death of Jesus. There's nothing he's going to say in the natural everybody did not see. But that is not the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is revelation. So what did Peter simply say? He says, look, him, he says, verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, that means they all saw it, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and you yourselves know. So, he's not saying anything new. Are you listening? Aha. Him being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. But David speaks concerning him, for saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Where is he speaking from? Huh? Did David mention Jesus? No. But what is the Holy Ghost doing now? He's showing them things to come. Things that have happened. Are you listening? This is the first sermon of the apostles. This is how they wrote their letters. Now, he now quoted David's Psalm, Psalm 16 verse 8 and 9. Now look at how he ended it. He said, men and brethren, 29, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne, on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, did he see a vision or is reading from the Old Testament? That means he knew that what David was saying about the right hand in the Old Testament referred to who? And that thing had happened. The Spirit of truth had now brought them into all of the truth. Are you following this? So they did not sit down somewhere and were seeing visions. What happened was that the Spirit of Truth took them through the Old Testament and showed them the things that have happened. That is, prophecies have now been fulfilled. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here? Now, he says in verse, which he has shared for this, which you now see and hear. And David is not ascended to the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand, until I make the hymns a footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel now know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So, what was Peter doing? Peter was fulfilling what Jesus asked them to do. What did we just do now? We are reading it to what? Huh? We are reading it to what? Understand. Do we have to start digging to the Old Testament? No. That means the Old Testament has already been explained. Are you following this? So, back to John 14, 12 to 13. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, we have explained the word in my name, verse 13. My name will be what? Huh? Huh? Office, reputation, character. Now, prepositions. Did he say by my name or in my name? What is in? Huh? Union. Inside. Right? You mean inside JESUS? Or inside an office? A status? Okay, so he said, in my name. mention my name or status? Okay, good. So that means we will be found in the character of Jesus upon resurrection. Is he saying, mention my name when you are praying? That's what he's saying. Talk to me now. What's he saying? Huh? Okay. He is seated at the right hand of who? Huh? Our right hand is not like this. Right hand is what? Authority. To be exalted. So the believing one is found there. Correct? So he says, in my name. So in my name, is he asking you to use faith? Huh? Is that faith mentioned? Nope. Whatever you, huh? Ask. So, there is no faith involved. The faith is in 12. He that believes on me, which is salvation. So there's no faith involved in 13. Are you following this? Am I talking to you? So, I'm not to be faith conscious. If anything I'm to be conscious of, I'm the conscious of the place I am in now. I'm not to believe further. I'm to act upon who I am. I'm to act like the word is true. He that believes on me. Okay? And it says, in my name, in my office. And which office? Now go to Ephesians 1 quickly. Praise God. So, are we in the name now? Hey, now. Are you in the name now? You write Jesus around yourself. Are you in the name now? Because you are in Christ. Can we say, can we change that word, whatever you ask in my name, to in Christ? Would it be the same thing? Would it be the same thing? Okay, so let's use the word in Christ. So would it make sense? Whatever you ask in Christ, I will do it. Does it not make sense? Not mentioning my name. Is it clear? Okay. So, quickly. Ephesians 1. Are you learning something? So, when we're acting on these truths, are we faith conscious or Christ conscious? We're not faith conscious. I'm not saying, am I believing enough? No. You are in Christ. You have done all your believing how many times? Once. All your believing was done once when you believe the gospel. So if any man be where? In the name. Same thing. In Christ. If any man be in the name, is a new creature. Same thing. Come on. Abi? If you have believed the gospel, you have been baptized into Christ and you are put on. Oh, come on. Does that make sense to you? So Jesus is talking about a new identity. That was why Paul could write and say, what fellowship at Christ with Belial? He calls the believer Christ. Because he is in Christ. Are you there? So, we are not faith conscious. Like, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough this? Do I have enough that? We are Christ conscious. Praise God. Amen. You know, we say, we behold him as he beholds us in him. So in our knowledge of Jesus comes our knowledge of ourselves. Now, with Jesus, four gospels or resurrection? God bless you. Look at this. Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of him, the eyes of understanding and light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. So where is the power wrought? When he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? To come. And I put all things under his feet, gave the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, It is clear to every believer now that Christ is at the right hand of God. Right? Above all principality and power and might and dominion. Is that very clear? No, that's not it. That's no confusion. If I will say it. Forever is your throne. Right? Okay. Now, what did the Holy Spirit come to do? The Holy Spirit came to point that fact to us. But he says, in that day, you will now know that I am in you. You are in me and in the Father. So the Holy Spirit is not just coming to show Jesus, he's also coming to show the believer in Christ. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? So it's coming to reveal the believer where? In Christ. So the essence of the epistles is to also see yourself. Where do you see yourself? Huh? You see yourself where? In the four gospels or the resurrection? You see yourself where? Come on, you see yourself where? So where are we now? Where are we now? And Christ is where? At the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven and earth, praise God. He has put all things under his feet, praise God. Hallelujah. Are you there? So that is where our consciousness should be. Imagine filling your thoughts every day with this. How would you be afraid? I'm asking you a question. How would you pray? Praise God. You know you won't draw prayer points from David. You know you won't. Oh, come on. Are you there? You won't. Because you have seen something. You have seen something. There's something about that reality when it dawns on you. On knowing who you are. Who you really are. And, you know, if you feed on the epistles long enough, and you stay on it, and you stay on it, and you, there was a man by the name of John G. Lake. He said there was a virus that hit town, that was killing people, that just a matter of touching it, that people didn't enter your body and you die. He said the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, you know what? Bring that virus, cut my body, put it inside. So as we were doing it, they were waiting to catch his body, you know, to just drop down and die. They now put a microscope and they found that as those things were going in, they were dying. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus would have done. So that is because he's G-Lake? No. It's because he is in Christ. And he knows. Hallelujah. And he knows. Praise God. And he knows. What about knowing that you are in Christ? And understanding that fact very well. Praise God. Because if you don't get this, by the time we start talking about the greater works, you just be looking. We're not talking about greater works at all, though. We are just laying the foundation. Praise God. Look at Ephesians 2. You know, if Paul had stopped here, we'll have an issue with him. Because Paul just said that he raised up Jesus. You know? But Jesus said that in that day you will know that I'm in you and you in me too. Look at Ephesians 2:5. Let's take it together. Ephesians 2:5. Are you there? Just the next chapter. Let's go. Even Hallelujah. He has what? Quickened us together. That word together is the word sonegerio in the Greek. S-U-N-E-G-E-I-R-O. It means alongside. It's not after. Let me explain sonegerio for you. This is by my side. Right? You know, I could be ahead,
He's behind and I'm dragging him. He's accompanying me. That's not what it means. It means in the same space. In the same space. That means if I take a step, that is his step. If I take another one, that is his own step. So we were raised together. Does that make sense to you? And we are made to sit together. That means we are in the same step. That means we cover the same space of authority. The same space of dominion. There is no greater authority in Jesus than in you. Because we are all in Christ. Selah. Hallelujah. I'll leave that there for another day. We are all in Christ. That was why Paul could tell the church in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at it. He says, know ye not. He says, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the Lord before the unjust and not before the saints. See how Paul thinks. Paul is rating spiritual authority more than natural authority. You know, in the, you know, carnal Christians would rather listen to their boss at work than their pastor or a fellow believer. But he said, don't you see what the church means? Can't you see it? I mean, can't you see what the church is saying? You are taking the believer for the unjust. Look at what he says. He says, let's take verse 2 together. Do you not know any saint here? This is community church, Nabi. Okay. Any saint here? Just a few people. If I say you need power for the next level, you raise your hand. Not in this church. Power for the next level. You need a key for breakthrough. You say, touch your head. Someone say, touch your head. I said, I won't do it. You say, touch your head and say, I know I'm blessed. I'll do it. I don't know I can do it. I'm blessed. But touch your head to be favored. Mbao. I'm accepted in the below. I'm just as accepted as Jesus. You know the same words God said to Jesus. This is my beloved son. In whom I well pleased was what he said about the believer. The same word. Accepted in the beloved. What he said. In whom I am well pleased. And are you aware that God said that. Before Jesus started ministry. He didn't say it because. You know if he had said it on the cross. I said he had done well. Your approval comes before your actions. We have been approved in Christ. Where we are now is a place of approval. We are not walking to an answer. We are walking from the answer. Hallelujah. There are no steps for us to be accepted. We have been accepted. Where we are is the highest form a man can ever be. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. Is this dawning on you? Imagine feeding on this regularly. Brother Hagin recommends that believers should spend time on those verses that have the word in Christ in whom. That they should spend hours on it. Until it dawns on you. There are some songs you won't sing again. They will be so strange. That, you know, I was thinking about our church song. Something about his presence is in this place. No, let's presence. What was presence? Let's say something more effective. I will change it for you now. Don't worry. Praise God. It says the same. So imagine that song. That great day is coming. All men shall stand. Imagine you all men. You put yourself with all men. You are spiritually tired. Before the throne of God and give account of themselves, I will stand. In those days, you will stand. But me, I was particular about my father will stand. All men shall stand before the throne of God and give account of themselves. Oh, my darling Jesus. Can you imagine bribery? For your work is set on fire, you will be my comforter. So you know. Hallelujah. But there's nothing like that. Amen. When the prophecy about the judgment of the world says it will come with the saints. Jesus is not going to judge this world alone. He's going to judge the world in Christ. And you are in Christ. When he rose from the dead, he entered the status in Christ. Amen. We'll talk about that next week. Selah. Praise God. So don't think you are not in Jesus. Jesus is a person. You are in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you learning something? Say you will judge the world. Are you talking to me? Say I will judge the world. Praise God. I've shakalaka somewhere like that before. I'm going to judge you. If you don't believe the gospel, I will judge you. Hallelujah. So that means one of the names of a believer is that he's a judge. You know you are a judge. Hallelujah. Why are you a judge? Because you are the right hand of the Father. Look at another thing. Verse 3. Let's put it together. Know ye not that we shall judge who? The angels. Praise God. Why would we judge the angels? We have more insight than they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Let me show you something, then we'll close. I've been showing you something now since. John 1, but this is just an addition. John 1, praise God. I mean, these are truths you hear, and you don't go and sleep. It should change. I met a lady in UI. He was, not sure why it's 97 or 98. And she had gone for all sort of deliverance, all the deliverance dramas. She wasn't doing well in her schoolwork, so they told her she was the second in command of the devil. She said she confessed it. So when she told me we were in Tether, what's that? Oh, I think it was in which one is nearer to India? Eh? India, yeah. So, who think I went to UI? I didn't know. But I was there. So, the girl said, sir, I'm the second in command of the devil. I started laughing. I said, we the third. The Bible says, you don't wait against flesh and blood. Forget all that. He said, are you a presbyter? Are you a power of spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places? Which of them are you? Satan has no chain of command. Forget all that one. There's no kingdom, there's no head of peace, HQ. Human resources department. It walks around. You know, and I know that I started laughing. She said, and she said something that was interesting, that when she's with the doing her deliverance, that she'll be saying those things. I've heard that thing over the years, that people will be saying things about themselves. I did this. That's how one girl came up and said she killed some people's parents in her boarding house. Come and see the problem. I had to intervene because it was getting bad. And I used to preach in their fellowship. I said, come. I said, you didn't kill anybody. She said, eh. I said, you didn't kill anybody. They thought that genuine conversion is when you confess some very terrible things. Like, I've done bad things. Even when you're doing anything, I've killed. What did you kill? I now ask a question. What was the name of the person? You didn't know. Where did they live? You don't know. How did you kill? I don't know why I was saying this. You are all not well. All of you that are in the deliverance thing. So Leslie was saying that he was second command of the devil, and I said, so I just sat her down, myself and my friend, and went through scriptures with her. I said, well, don't go there again, or else you will become second in command again. Now leave the command and come here. Praise God. Then she was feeling, I mean, she had an extra, and things were really going bad. You saw her that day. What are you doing? At India, when she ran at me, and told me. I said, you know, that's the lady. I told her. That was 98. That was 98. Okay, that was 98. Said she, see. No, that was 96. It was 98. She now hugged me. She said, that's the lady. She was not a graduate. She was serving. Just by feeding on the truth. Going from one deliverance mountain, to a valley, to a plateau, and say, I'm taking water. Yeah. Say, sprinkle it upon your bed. Any demon that comes from you. The point is that use your brain. What if water finishes? Beyond water is who you are. You need no water. You are enough for the devil. Just you.
I mean, just you. Say, he that believes, he himself. Hallelujah. There's something about the believer. When he shows up in his identity, things happen. Hallelujah. There are some things we don't pray about. We take authority over. Hallelujah. John 1, let me just wrap up. Hallelujah. John said, I saw him. Okay, let's start with 32. He says, and John bore record and saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain on, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. That means John, that this, you see this in Matthew 3, 11 again to 16 or 14, and then Mark 1, 8, Luke 3, 16 and 17. Now, when he says, I saw the Spirit descend upon him, that was when Jesus began the work of ministry. That was not the day he had the Holy Ghost. That statement is explanatory. That is, he will begin the ministry of preaching and teaching when the Spirit comes upon him. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, did you notice that, watch this, that's the same thing that was said of believers in the book of Acts. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. That was not salvation. That was the work of ministry. We'll get on this, that a little bit more next week or maybe a week after. Now, notice something. That what John saw, okay, when Jesus had the Holy Ghost come on him, Jesus did not baptize any with the Holy Ghost until he rose from the dead. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, he said that the Holy Ghost will be given when he is glorified, John 7:39. So he didn't. Now, observe something. When he rose from the dead, okay, this should bless you. I'll close here. When he rose from the dead, you know, he said he should wait in Jerusalem. Acts 2:1-4 now says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place of one accord, and there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it sat upon each, and a few of the house where they were seated, and then, my mind is running fast. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, pay attention to something. Peter now begins to explain. And Peter now says that, you see, what happened was this. Jesus rose from the dead. And being by the right hand of God exalted, verse 33, Acts 2, he has shed forth this. Result of the power of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He has shed forth this. And he was repeating Joel's prophecy. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I want you to listen very well. Did you notice that after that, the Holy Ghost was given by men ministering it? So Jesus laid a pattern. Since Acts, men have been ministering the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we are seated in the same place. Hallelujah. So, the man who is born again now can minister the things of the Spirit to others. Why? We are at the right hand of the Father exalted. And we can minister the things for people to see and for them to hear. Church, we're in a status. We're in a place. We're in a place where no fear shall come to us. If it comes, we know we are above that. We're in a place in Christ, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion. We're in a place that all things that are of Jesus, which are now in Christ, are ours. You've never lacked power. If any lack at all is the knowledge of what you have. You've never lacked the Spirit of God or the gifts of the Spirit.
You just didn't know. You've never lacked anything. Hallelujah. Imagine, can there be anything that is not in Christ? I'm asking. What can it be? If it's not in Christ, that means it's not for us. Praise God. And if in Christ, it means it belongs to us. That means we have them now. Step into this day. As you step out of this auditorium to this week, let your mind be immersed in these truths. Like I said earlier, stop being faith conscious. Be Christ conscious. This is who I am now. And this is what I have right now. Praise God. I said praise God. I said praise God. I said praise God. Nothing scares us. The Bible says you have got little children overcome him. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say I'm of God. Say I'm of God. Say I'm of God. Say I'm of God. Hallelujah. One guy brought someone in Catania one time and was saying it to me. I said, I don't understand what you are saying. I don't understand what you are saying. So I said, I should be doing like this. I said, do what? I do like this to the devil. I just laugh. I just laugh. Why would what he's saying scare me? Why? The minute you even repeat it, that means you have faith in it. Just laugh over it. So when you are through, me, I will say my own. So when it was through, I said, you are beneath my feet. Hallelujah. I will repeat my own. I'll tell you my own. Praise God. Say you are beneath my feet. All things that are in Christ are mine. I've got power and authority over every work of the enemy. And nothing shall my enemies hurt me. That's all. He went again. I repeated what I said all over again. I don't need to add to it. That's enough. Maybe she said something different. No, just repeat yourself. Praise God. Because we are in an ever abiding state in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Imagine praying like this, singing like this, worshiping the Father like this. You will say, break every chains, break every chains. Who is breaking chains of you? You can't be chained in Christ. Break every chain. No, we are breaking chains. Not chains around us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said we are seated together. Which is we are seated in him. The same space, the same geography, the same distance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I say one more time. If jazz should affect me, let me go to hell. Let me go to hell. I mean, the deepest part of it and be destroyed with the unsaved. Jazz. It's not worth praying about. I live in a house where the landlord put one nonsense on the door. People were scared. Christians, and we were, all his tenants were believers. Can you imagine? Goliath. Believers. Say, Mosheku, you remove that thing. I said, what? So I took it and I was chasing her over the house. Imagine. You that you have killed many chickens. You now use feather of a chicken. Dead chicken. Bone of a dead animal. Yeah. Nonsense. Those things carry nothing. They are in words. All the enemy uses that they call jazz is fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in my father's hometown. It's my own too. And one guy, they called him. They said the guy is Olori something. The guy was saying, I should not pass a place. I removed the thing I crossed. The guy said, I said, I will disgrace you here. Here! In this place, that is their place. I will disgrace you. As I said, I stopped. They know. He stopped. But they know. They just kept quiet. Just my. Oh, my bad. Take it easy. Hallelujah. So somebody sends you from the village and you are praying. What is prayer point? Father, in Jesus' name, protect me in Christ. Help me in Christ. Secure me from the devil in Christ. Don't you know who you are? He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he will do. And greater works than this. Glory to God. I do greater works. I do greater works. Right now, I do greater works. Glory to God. Give him praise. Thank you.